Welcome to Raising Well-Nourished Kids, your go-to parenting podcast for everyday strategies to help you raise emotionally resilient, happy, food-loving kids.
Hi, I'm Georgia Harding, a naturopath, founder of the Well-Nourished Family Membership, and proud mum of two thriving teenagers.
And I'm Jane Faulkner, a practicing psychotherapist, the founder of Equine Assisted Therapy Australia, and also a mum of two beautiful, busy kiddos.
Join us every week as we share practical tips to set your kids up for healthier eating habits, body positivity, and a lifelong love of whole foods. Let's dive in.
Hey, so it's quite common that when kids head to kindy or prep, they refuse or become picky about their lunchbox.
Yeah, it is very common. Mm. Yeah. So today we thought we're going to share some tips and ideas for preparing your toddlers or young kids just to become lunchbox ready. The day they start school comes around before you know it, literally in the blink of an eyelid, doesn't it?
It really does.
Yeah. So, in today's podcast we want to discuss some ways to ensure that, you know, when your little ones start kindy or prep, it's going to be smooth sailing and they're completely lunchbox ready. You only have to look inside of a kid's lunch to understand that the industrialization and commercialization of our food chain has such a stronghold, doesn't it, on this
horrible
next generation of kids.
Yeah.
Combined with peer pressure to conform to the processed food norm, you know, sometimes convincing your kids to eat real food at school or kindy can be such a challenge.
Yeah.
All the same, I can't help but feel it's just such a shame that whole food lunch boxes are considered hippie or weird or, you know, strange in any way, and that these pick-a-packet lunch boxes are normal.
Yeah.
Definitely one thing I've noticed from consulting with patients and conversing online is that many kids who are generally not too fussy can sometimes become fussy when it's time for them to eat independently, especially surrounded by classroom distractions. And, you know, eating from a lunchbox, is something completely new for them. So definitely preparing your child or your toddler to become lunchbox ready will make your life immeasurably easier come the time that they actually start kindy or school.
Yeah. Mm. So the earlier you can start, the better. And it's just small things to do. Like when you're out and about with your little ones, you can give them kind of, if you give them packets of food, then that's what they're going to expect their lunch boxes are full of when they start school. So when my kids were little, I regularly gave them raw or cooked veggies, leftover meat, sandwiches and cut up fruit in a container when we were out for the day. So they were fine with eating them at school when the time came because it was just normal for us.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah.
We were the same. We were that family.
Yeah. Yes, totally. And I'm grateful. It's served us well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Obviously, sometimes you need something convenient, but on the whole, try to include whole foods over packaged foods. It serves them as teenagers too.
Yeah.
You know, to not just think that they go and buy something every time they're out or a packaged food that they can come home or take a lunch.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, I think when you're out now, like right now, you need to start thinking about packing a small lunchbox of the sorts of things that you want them to eat. Decide on what style of lunchbox container suits best, either lots of individual containers or a bento style box.
Yep.
And if possible, just allow them to open and shut it themselves.
Yes.
You know, believe it or not, being able to open and shut your lunchbox can be a really big deal for a little person. So,
definitely.
Yeah, absolutely. I also started talking to my kids about the order that they ate food when they were very little and before they started school. So I taught them from an early age that, you know, say cut up fruit, like a cut up strawberry, for example, and certain vegetables were best eaten earlier in the day at morning tea, or an apple before it went brown.
Yeah.
When they ignored me and then they found, say, a piece of cut up fruit wasn't so appealing when they went to eat it a day or so later, I would again reinforce the need just to.
You mean later in the day?
Later in the day, yeah. they needed to eat it you know, first up, that was why it wasn't so palatable yeah. because, you know, even kids live and learn, don't they?
Oh, man, that's, I think, how it's got to be. We educate them. They don't listen. We yep. keep educating them, and then over time they go, oh, maybe.
Well, sometimes they still don't listen. But
totally. Oh, maybe what Mum said does make sense.
Oh, dear, that's funny.
So get them used to eating cold leftovers.
Yeah, so
it's,
important.
Yeah, and it's no big deal. Like yep. one of the ways I make my lunches easy to make and really nourishing, you taught me this,
yep.
is to work with leftovers or make, like, cook ahead in batches.
Yeah.
Unless your kid has access to facilities to eat food, they'll need to get used to eating cold food.
Yeah, we didn't have a microwave when my kids were little, so there wasn't yeah. an option to yeah. heat up food. They just got used to it being that yeah. way.
We've never had a microwave, yeah. so same.
Yeah, right, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, look, sometimes I actually do use a thermos in winter to send some warmer foods, but mostly my kids also eat everything cold.
Yeah,
it's just what they don't know any different. Yeah. So yeah, you know, even when they were little and we were at home, because we didn't have a microwave, yeah. I couldn't be bothered turning the stove on half of the time. Yeah. So yeah, so that's just what they got used to. Yeah. And you know, I know I quite often get comments from parents saying, oh, I can't believe your kids eat that cold. They haven't known any different. Yeah. So, yeah, getting them used to eating certain foods cold is actually going to be hugely helpful for you when they actually start yeah. school, isn't it? Yeah.
Well, you can send like high protein cold meats then, yes. can't you?
Yeah. Know?
But if they're not used to ever having meat cold.
Cold,
then
yeah, exactly. And lots of things like, yeah, mm. like meat is definitely something that a lot of people comment on. I'm trying to think of other things that I packed, and yeah, toasted sandwiches, would you believe?
Yeah.
Like when my kids were little, I had one of those, really showing my age here, but one of those Jaffel machines yeah. that press the sandwiches. Yeah. And I found it really, really useful. I actually think my mum handed it down to me.
Yeah.
And I found it really useful because I could put lots of great fillings. Like sometimes I'd even put leftover bolognese or
yeah.
a curry or like juicy things
yeah.
and then you'd press it down, and because it sealed all the edges for little hands and little people,
yes, perfect.
It kept it all in kind of tact.
Yeah, yeah.
But my kids learnt from a young age like that we would go out and about and I would take a toasted Jaffel
yeah.
and they didn't know any different. They didn't, you know, because I hadn't pulled it straight. Sometimes we pulled it straight from the machine at home, but
yeah.
either hot or cold, they were happy to yeah. eat that. Yeah. So,
yeah.
yeah, it's just that starting as you intend to continue, isn't it?
Yeah, and I used to send my kids lasagna a lot,
yep.
you know, like just cold,
yep.
and it's fine. It's
yeah.
protein, it's nourishing.
Absolutely, yeah. yeah. So much better than anything that's going to come out of a packet anyway. Ah, so
exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, definitely.
I guess what is important to remember is that you don't, that you have boundaries and guidelines
yeah.
around that, you know, that they do need to eat what you pack for lunch and that there's no surprises. So I'd always recommend that you don't pack a new food first up in a lunchbox. Try it out on a weekend. Yeah. Help your kid to get used to the food before you pack it. And expect them to eat it by themselves at school. I guess it's really important for us to remember that for most kids, just being at school, trying to fit in, trying to find friends at lunch, trying to find someone to sit with at lunch so you're not by yourself is stressful enough without them trying a new food or trying to fumble with their lunchbox. Or so you want to kind of set them up as much as you can so that at least they're comfortable and confident with their lunchbox
yep.
and with what's in their lunchbox.
Yeah.
Yeah, so with your expectations, just let them know when they're calm so they can actually hear and understand what you're saying, that they do need to eat what's in their lunchbox. I really believe in educating kids, so educating them that they'll feel a lot better at school after they've eaten something. It's a long day for kids and their brain's working. And I don't know about you, but anytime I study, I need more food.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because the brain just takes so much to kind of keep it optimal. So it's really important that you educate your kids and you have that expectation that, hey, there's that food that you need to take time to eat. my daughter's blood sugars used to just drop and she would become really hangry. She'd get really easily overwhelmed and tired at school. She had dyslexia, so school was a pretty stressful place for her.
Yeah.
So for me, with her, some days she couldn't eat lunch. She actually didn't have. She was so anxious and she would say, I just couldn't eat it because her tummy was tight. Yeah, it used to be heartbreaking. Yeah. As a parent, I've learned that I can provide the guide rails or boundaries and educate or explain my reasoning for something to my kids, like telling my son and daughter, you know, you need to eat what's in the lunchbox.
Yep.
But sometimes they've got to learn, like Georgia was saying before. My philosophy has always been about educating them, really making sure they understand what I'm saying, but also letting them develop their own autonomy and learn from not doing what I say and not being a smartass about it, not, you know, oh, I told you so, but kind of helping them join the dots.
Yeah, make that connection.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And I say this as it's really easy to become overbearing and too controlling, which can lead to kids feeling like they can't talk to you about things or being sneaky and throwing their food out. So parenting is a really artful balance of being clear on expectations, providing boundaries, allowing autonomy and choice, and empowering your kids to make decisions and to learn from the consequences of their decisions. That if you don't eat lunch by the end of the day, you're going to feel horrible, tired, cranky, maybe even headachy.
Yeah. I've definitely set boundaries when my kids were little that I do expect them to eat what I pack. I really struggle with food waste personally, like that's you know, part of my value structure, I suppose.
Yeah.
And look, I don't force them to eat something that's gone soggy or something that they didn't finish at lunch that's, you know, in any way not looking good.
Yeah.
But generally my rules were that what they didn't finish at lunch, they would have after school, like in the car on the way home when they said they were starving hungry. Yeah. They would, you know, if they had something left over, they'd just know to open their lunchbox and eat that before they got anything else to eat.
Yeah.
You know, if you get them used to eating what you've packed, you won't be doing yourself or them any favors if you just, you know, jump and get them something else if they show any displeasure at what you've packed. And as I said, I'm not suggesting that you force them to eat anything, but if you have prepared them well and you've talked to them about what's in their lunchbox, perhaps offered them some choice, like, you know, would you like carrots or cucumber in your lunchbox today? Then they're much more likely to have no issues with making their way through their lunchbox. I've always asked my kids, even to this day, I ask my kids, you know, well, they often will look at their lunchbox. I don't shut it before they put it away. They actually like it's open and then they close the lid and put it in their cooler bag. But I also check in with them at the end of the day, like, how was lunch today? That's just kind of a standard question that I ask.
Which is so important, again, to kind of like for that empowering them to kind of say, yep, this worked, this didn't work.
Yes, exactly.
Giving them choice.
Absolutely, because it's not always smooth sailing.
Yeah.
You know, my kids are pretty accepting of most foods, but definitely they've gone through stages, you know, where my son said, you know, I don't like cake. You know, I've made a homemade cake and I'm frustrated. I'm like, that cake's no good to be eaten now. You know, I wish you'd have eaten it at school.
Yeah.
He's like, you know, I'm not into cake anymore. You know, can you make biscuits instead? That's fine. I'd rather know that than have the battle over the cake, you know.
Definitely.
One thing that I think is important, well, it has been important for my kids anyway, is that they've tended to get a bit bored if I pack the same thing over and over again. And, you know, variety in their lunchbox not only keeps them interested, but it definitely does ensure that they're getting as many different nutrients from as many different sources as possible. So for me, feeding my kids the same thing over and over and over really limits their potential to be, you know, truly nourished. And just remember, anything goes in the lunchbox. Don't be constrained by just, you know, fruit and a sandwich, all of the things. I think sometimes we get so caught up that there's certain foods for lunch and certain foods to snack on.
So true.
Food is food.
Yes.
You know, I may have already mentioned this, but, you know, I had a young fella as a patient years ago who I know I talked about it on my social media this week, so I'm probably getting confused where I've spoken about this, but who was really failing to thrive. He had all sorts of health issues. He was getting sick all of the time. His mum was so worried about him. And she was worried because he hated breakfast. He hated breakfast cereal. He didn't like eggs. He didn't like toast. He didn't want smoothies. And she was tearing her hair out. She didn't know what to give him. And I kind of said to her, well, what does he enjoy eating? She said, well, he loves eating soup. So I said, well, why not just cook up a couple of batches of different soups and then pop them into little individual containers every night before you guys go to bed, pop them in the fridge so it defrosts overnight, next morning reheat it. And it's funny, I actually ran into that child not that long ago, or the parent of that child not that long ago. The child's got now a teenager and she said, you know, he still eats soup for breakfast. Oh, you know, it was the best thing ever that you know, I got that tip. And, you know, it was amazing because we changed very little in this child's diet except ensuring he had a really good brekkie. But as I said, getting back to the point here is that his mum was just so caught up that breakfast was cereal or eggs or toast or smoothie. Lunch was fruit and a sandwich. Dinner was like meat and veg, pasta and salad. Like they were just kind of set meals for set times. And yeah, I just I want everyone to know that food is food.
Yes,
you can eat anything anytime. We quite often will have dal for breakfast or anything in the lunchbox anyway is I'm up for it.
Yeah, I
whatever they enjoy and working with them with what they enjoy.
Yeah.
And again, honoring their those stages and phases. My kids have gone through phases where they hate sandwiches in the lunchbox and rolls and wraps. And then other stages where that's all they want.
Yes.
So, you know, my job as a parent is to make sure those sandwiches are as nourishing as possible. They have nourishing fillings. But I can work with what they're wanting at that particular stage and phase. So
it's really helpful to get your kids involved.
So important.
100%. So they're always more likely to eat what's in their lunchbox if they've had some say or involvement in making it. Even if it's as simple as directing the little ones to pack the fruit from the chopping block into the lunchbox. Doesn't need to be complicated.
No.
Even like you said, just them closing the lid 100%. But having a look.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think a lot of people when you suggest that your kids help make lunch, they think that it's a start to finish project and it doesn't need to be that way at all.
No. Like just even flicking the switch on the smoothie.
100%.
Or putting a handful of the berries in.
Yeah.
And that's awesome because when you start getting them involved, I think you skill them up.
Absolutely.
So when they're older, they're able to do it for themselves, which is great.
Yep.
I just wanted to reiterate that to remember that for some kids, school is a really stressful place. And this was definitely my daughter's experience. So at the end of the day, sometimes, like I said before, she didn't have the capacity to talk about what she'd eaten or not eaten.
That's a great point.
And this could come later after she'd been outside and just regrounded herself. Her anxiety also meant that often she used to not be able to eat at school. Her stomach was too tight with all the anxiety in there. So I remember once hearing a cook called Jude Blaireau, and her advice for me was really supportive and helpful because I used to really worry about my daughter and school and her not eating at school. And she used to advise carers to provide solid, she called them bookend meals to the day. So a really hearty breakfast and a really nourishing dinner. And this was something we did with my daughter. So we ensured that she had breakfast that was high in protein and that she ate a nourishing dinner. And luckily for us, she would eat. We'd always have eggs for brekkie or something that was really nourishing.
Yeah, so I hope this discussion has given you a few ideas that you can start to think about and implement before school comes around for your toddler because, as we said initially, the time that they start school, it just sneaks up on you. You know, 1 minute you've got a toddler at home full-time with you, the next minute, or at daycare, the next minute, they're starting prep.
Yeah.
And you think, oh my gosh, what's happened? Mm-hmm. So I think anything you can do is to just prevent any issues from arising
yes.
is always going to be much better than trying to fix things. So, yeah, hopefully these tips will have you both ready to tackle the next phase of your child's development.
Yeah. And as we, like, this is kind of a lifestyle, isn't
totally.
It? It's starting to really just make this a normal part
yes.
of your life.
Yeah, because, I mean, they're going to be at school for a lot of years.
Yeah.
Yeah. What, how many years is it? So they start at 14, 13 years
yeah.
of school. So like you said, you're starting off as you intend to continue and, yeah, it is just so much easier to prevent issues arising than it is to flip back.
Yeah. Definitely.
Have a great day.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of the Raising Well-Nourished Kids podcast.
If you'd like to learn more about raising happy, emotionally resilient, food-loving kids, check out the Well-Nourished Kids program or follow us at Well-Nourished Kids on Instagram.
And if you've enjoyed what you've heard today, we'd really love it if you could take a moment to leave a review, subscribe, and share with a few friends.
Remember, it takes a village, and we're here to support you on your parenting journey.
We'll catch you next time.